the city.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily, presented by Mokarem Injury Lawyers.
Yeah, it is, baby. Mokarem Injury Lawyers, hard as hell to say, easy to dial. 281-222-2222. Everybody out there listening, you watching on YouTube and Twitch, we greatly appreciate it. This hat is clean, ain't it? Boy, that HOU hat right there, it's clean, ain't it? Y'all see that on YouTube and Twitch? If you're not watching on YouTube and Twitch, I think you probably should. If you listen on the AM dial, FM dial, we greatly appreciate it, but we would thoroughly appreciate if you would download the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download the Audacy app. You can listen to us live. There's rewind features. You can go back and listen this time of year in the loop. They're out at practice every day with the Texans. They got a player fresh off the field. Yesterday, Payne and Pendergast had the general manager, Nick Caserio, on for about 40 minutes. Maybe that was Monday. Maybe it wasn't yesterday. I don't know. Anyway, they have him on all the time. It gets lost in the shuffle. But the rewind feature is big time, as well as all the podcasting that is at your fingertips on the Audacy app. One of those podcasts we like to push around these parts is that big orange wagon. That big orange wagon is Tyler Milner and Patrick Creighton, all things Astros. They are rocking and rolling. Some good, some bad. When the Astros are getting that ass kicked the way they are lately, it's maybe a little bit on the negative side, but it's real talk, real Astros talk any way you slice it. We've got a big second half of the show here lined up for you. The Houston Astros, they win 9-1 behind an Altuve bomb, most importantly, but also Yainer Diaz hits a bomb, and he is productive for the second night in a row, second game in a row, as well as Big Hummel. He had a hit last night that was a difference maker, had a bomb today that was a big plus here. So the Astros, and by the way, that was Gusto on the bump. I didn't get his numbers, Tyler. You got Gusto's numbers. How long did Gusto go?
Six innings.
He gave us six innings.
Yep. Four hits, one run, five strikeouts, one walk.
There you go. Gusto showed up today as well. So good day for the Astros. And by the way, on the Astros front, we are inside 25 hours, of the Major League Baseball trade deadline. And the big news of the day is the Astros are reportedly flirting with several players, but most importantly, Carlos Correa. And we will be touching on all of these topics the rest of the show. But I'm going to tell you, as you know, I am definitely into Los Carlos Correa return to the Astros. I'm here for that. And for those that are interested in the Cowboys, they are currently running gassers at practice because they can't quit fighting.
Why work on, winning games and you can fight up there, bro?
Are you kidding me, Tyler?
Get them hands ready.
Starts with discipline, guys.
There's literally video out there of Coach Shoddy shutting down practice and saying, hey, you guys get to running. We're going to run some gassers. Literally in practice. Ain't nobody in 2025 is doing cardio. No, nobody is doing conditioning. And while the Cowboys are out there running gassers because they can't quit fighting. Also, on a more serious note, the Cowboys have their conversations, their contract talks with star linebacker Micah Parsons they've reportedly gone backwards. They've not only halted, they have gone backwards. Again, we'll keep you posted on all of that as we move forward. The Texans today, it is Wednesday. It is day 8 of training camp, 7 practices in, and I've got some good news for all the Texans fans out there, right? Yesterday, I kicked the ant bed now. I stirred the folks up a little bit. That was not my intentions. My intentions are always to give you fair, honest, real observations of what I see at practice. And what I've seen at what I saw at practice for 6 straight practices, I think it was unorthodox. It was awkward. It was not normal, to say the least, about the reps that CJ Stroud was getting, and kind of how they were handling this very, very, very important install with this offense and your starting quarterback. And the good news today is, guys, it seemed like CJ Stroud He got 4 of 10 reps in the first team period. He got 4 of 10 team reps, I believe, in the second period. He had a 6-play move the ball drive in the third team period. And there was a 2-minute drive, which consisted of a lot of quarterback pressures where he's running around kind of with the chicken's head cut off. So I lost count of how many plays, but there was 4 or 5 plays there as well. So from a rep count standpoint, CJ got, I would say, decent work. I still think it's, you know, when you do 2 team periods and you got 20 total offensive plays to rep here, and your starting quarterback gets 8 of those in your first 2 team periods, I still think that is on the low side. I think it's significantly low side, but it was a little bit more. There were no two reps and out like I have seen in training camp up to this point. So I would encourage everybody out there to rest easy in a sense of the rep count. I thought it was better today. It's still interesting to me, but I thought it was better. And on a bigger note, Ron, CJ uncorked one. CJ uncorked one. I think it's the first ball that I've seen that carried more than 20 yards in the air that I've personally seen. I'm not saying it hadn't happened. That's the first one that I've personally seen from CJ Stroud. And it was a deep post that he threw early on the first team period. And surprise, surprise, Kalen Bullock was back there, made a play on the ball. It was underthrown a little bit, but the point here being is C.J. Stroud did not hesitate one bit. He let that thing rip and took the deep ball. So I think both of those are a little bit, for me, it's encouraging to see kind of the rep count be a little bit closer to normal and see the quarterback actually unleash one and let it rip.
Yeah, I know you talked about thinking something wasn't normal about the reps and everything, and you know, a big thing that jumped out, as you said, but I hadn't really seen him throw the ball 15 yards down the field or further down the field, and to see that happen again, there hadn't been anything that looked off physically. It's just more just the amount of work he's getting, which makes you wonder they're trying to protect something potentially physically, to just kind of, you know, as we talk about with Will, maybe with Will, you gotta pull him back and not allow him to just work himself to death. And maybe there's a similar situation with CJ. Yeah. But that was big that he's able to go, you know, throw the ball down the field. And we're seeing that. I do think, you know, maybe a bigger conversation is the fact that it seems like that was maybe the thing to work on today, was more down the field stuff, Clint, and that didn't seem to hit very well for this offense.
Well, it wasn't a good day overall for the offense. I wanted to get the positive out of the way first. It was not a good day for the offense overall, Ron. I as I was counting reps, I was also checking results. I mean, they're in 8 plays in 2 team periods for C.J. Stroud. I think they threw the ball 6 times, and 3, maybe even 4 of those reps would have been sacks, right? The pocket just collapsed around him. So the pass protection today was suspect once again. I mean, collapsed a couple of times. So they got to get that thing. They got to get that thing figured out. Now it tightened up a little bit later in practice.
Yeah.
And now again, I caution, because I think some of that had to do with D'Amico Ryans, and he's been, I don't think he's just flat out said it, but he has alluded to he's got to call the dogs off with Will Anderson to keep him away from his quarterback. So a lot of the stuff late in it went from going ones versus ones to ones versus twos, ones versus threes, kind of some reserve type defensive fronts kind of deal. So the pass protection was from an offensive line perspective, was not good today. And I'll reiterate it. I think the positive here is I see a lot of it coming from the tackle positions. It's not you. I mean, all the fans out there remember watching last year. It was like, I mean, take your pick. Center, guard, right guard, left tackle, right tackle. I mean, you never knew where it was going to come from. Tight end, you never knew when it was going to come from. It seems like these edge pressure. Now, that may be a
well, that is the strength of the Texas defense.
Right. It that may be a 51 and 55 problem, but I say it to say it's somewhat encouraging of hey, if Nick Caley really wanted a game plan, we could dedicate a running back and a tackle to Will Anderson. We could dedicate a tight end and a tackle to Danielle Hunter and really at least show them some different pictures, and they're not going to do that. So While the pocket was collapsing, I'm not overly concerned about it. You're installing an offense, and you're not game planning to help with two nasty defensive ends. So the pass protection was not pretty today, Ron. That was the biggest, I think, offensive takeaway that was a little bit of an issue.
Yeah, and when it's not pretty, obviously we all learned from last year, it kind of handcuffs what it is that you can do. And right now, all we're basing off what we're seeing on the field, and again, this group has just practiced together. They've had OTAs, mandatory minicamp, and now 7 days of or seven practices here in training camp. But right now, they appear to be a team that once you open it up, and it's more than just get it out immediately, it's going to be potentially a real challenge for them to be able to hold up in pass protection long enough for them to get deep crossers, to get, you know, go routes, to get longer developing plays.
Yeah, we'll see how Nick Caley kind of – because I people that listen to the show know. I mean, I think a huge part of being an offensive coordinator is – like, if you're an offensive coordinator and we know, hey, we can squeeze you, we can suffocate you, and you're going to have a hard time getting the ball over the top, you're going to have a hard time protecting your quarterback. I mean, like, that's football 101. I mean, you'd rather that not be the situation. But in the NFL, especially when you're practicing against D'Amico Ryan's defense every day, that's going to be a problem. And so – I think it's, you know, early on, we're going to see, and this is great practice for Nick Caley. I just think that the creative quicks, I know it seems like elementary football. I know people get tired of hearing about it, but if this team is really, really, really good at the screen game, if this team is really, really, really good at the creative quicks, the rest of the stuff happens, right? So I like the challenge of this defense being, hey, man, we're going to get after your quarterback, so you better find creative ways to get the football out. And so it challenges Nick Caley and C.J. Stroud and these guys to get creative in what they're doing in the quick game and what they're doing in the screen game, which I think bodes really well for the regular season, right? You may not always need those things against lesser defenses, but when you get into a situation where you can't protect, boy, if you can lean on something that you're really good at and you're really strong and you believe in, then – you got one leg up. I am just a firm believer in, you better be able to run the football to some degree. It doesn't have to be like ground and pound, we're going to be the best run game ever, but you have to at least run the football in a complimentary fashion, right? And then I'm going to tell you, behind that, man, if you don't have a good screen game, quick game, I don't give a damn about the rest, man. I mean, I know we talk about the Chiefs a lot on this show because they've won a lot. They've won a lot in the past. I mean, the one thing that really stands out, other than certain players like Tyreek Hill's ability to get over the top, and you look at Travis Kelce's ability to work the middle of the field, and you look at Pat Mahomes' ability to kind of extend plays, kind of yada, yada, yada. I mean, they have a tremendous screen game. They have a tremendous quick game. And Pat is, like, really, 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 really good at those things schematically and physically. So, you know, these teams that win consistently are good in that category. And so hopefully this challenge of this defense, Ron, bodes well for Nick Caley to kind of develop some things, even if you had to force it into existence.
And Nick Caley coming from L.A., Sean McVay and the Rams, they also have a really good quick game and screen game with Puka and the running backs and Cooper Kupp when he was there. So,
yeah.
That is in his history.
Well, the other thing at practice today, just to put a bow on the practice report, is once again, surprise, surprise, Kalen Bullock. If there were a couple of interceptions that Davis Mills threw in his eight reps in the first two team periods. He threw two interceptions. So C.J. Stroud got sacked three or four times, and Davis Mills threw two interceptions. The defense was pretty nasty there, but the play that Kalen Bullock made, which is on Twitter – it's all over Twitter because everybody's tagging me in it, talking about, are you happy now? He threw the ball over 20 yards. It was a deep post where he slightly underthrew it, and Kalen Bullock damn near intercepted it, right? Kalen Bullock is out there again making major, major plays. And then if you flip it and you look at Davis Mills, the interceptions that I'm talking about, the rookie safety Reed, which, by the way, I believe Reed ends up playing at the linebacker. He's an old-school box safety type of guy. I think he ends up playing linebacker before it's all said and done. But he undercut a throw by Davis Mills and got a pick, and then I'm trying to think who got C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I think, got the other one. Another throw kind of over the middle with Davis Mills. So it was another good day for the secondary for the Houston Texans.
Yeah. Also, want to make it clear, Clint may have forgotten to tell. Nice completion to Dalton Schultz down the field from C.J. Stroud.
Well, I told you. I know. Let's play the text line talking. I told you that's fine and dandy. It was actually a great catch by Dalton Schultz. One-handed, kind of tapped it back to himself.
That's it, Dalton.
The problem is about 2 seconds before C.J. threw the ball, Will would have planted him in the ground. Kind of like I did in Foxtail Ferns last night when I got home. Would have planted him in the ground. What? So, yeah, I mean, that's great. That's fine. I mean, if you want to... We want to allow the quarterback to kind of just scramble around out there after he's been sacked twice and just make a throw and then rant and rave about it. That's cool.
It was a good throw, though.
It was a good throw and a great – it was a great catch. Great run after catch.
Good throw and catch.
Problem was, it would have never happened.
And boy, come on now. D.C., Dalton Schultz in the building. I don't know why I said D.C. Speaking of D.C., the Astros, they took care of D.C. As they beat the Nationals. If you missed that, we'll let you know about that. And Jose Altuve, a big game as well as the Astros pull through a player that is starting to maybe turn the corner that we need to look at with the Astros. We'll do that coming up next.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyers Studio. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, the Astros take care of business, and take care of business in a big way. If you were just rolling around today, they had a little day baseball, and they made quick work of the Washington Nationals. They beat and tapped that ass by the score of 9-1. They brought out the power today, 3 home runs, 4 hits. Shout out to Tyler. He's hot now, folks. He's back.
Don't call it a comeback.
What'd we do so far? I know we're 3 for 5 at least. I guess you made 5. Maybe did you make more bets than that?
Here's the thing. Those Astros bets are not going to be a part of our best bets at 5:45 because, well, they're over and done with, and they all won. That's, and your boy got 400. Win the pocket.
That's all right.
There it is.
What'd you go on the Astros? 3 for 3?
3 for 3.
Come on, baby.
What all did you get? I know you had
small victories.
Altuve bases.
Yes, Altuve over 1.5 total bases. On
he had
that
4
same,
hits today.
Yeah, and on that same swing of the bat when Altuve hit that homer, not only did it get me the over 1.5 bases, but in that moment got me the over 3.5 runs for the Astros, and then the third bet was just the money line for the Astros winning today over the Nats.
There it is. He's hot, folks. He was in the green yesterday as well, so he's ready to roll. Every time the threat of Clint Sterner taking over to make the bets – for best bets,
we survive.
He comes alive. Tyler comes alive and staves off elimination.
I'm not gonna give up.
He's not gonna give up. He almost has, folks, but he hadn't quite yet. So be ready for best bets. T Mill's hot now. He is smoking hot. We'll see what he has a little bit later on.
Might want to be tailing
in the final segment of the day. But Astros went 9-1. And this was big as they had dropped 5 in a row. They end up coming back winning these last 2 and win the series. After an off day, they'll take on the Red Sox, hit the road, and go to Boston. So this'll be big. And I think a big thing we're starting to see, Clint, you've been asking for it. We've been talking about it all year. And it is Yiner Diaz. Yiner Diaz, Clint, in the last 2 games in their wins, he's 5 for 8, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs, and he hit in a 2 spot today behind Altuve. And if Altuve wasn't clearing the bases with 4 hits, hell, he may have had more RBIs in this game. But Yiner Diaz, when he is swinging the bat, is a difference maker and somebody that you can depend on. And I don't know that he has been that guy at all consistently this year like he was the previous 2 years. And if this is a space where he has turned the corner and he is going, then this is a big thing, because, you know, it makes you feel better about that Abrams guy running on him on absolute free will yesterday. I mean, that one where he stole third and Yiner didn't even bother to throw the ball down there. It made me not even get frustrated with that because he was swinging the bat.
Yeah, look, Yiner is obviously, I think, the number one guy that we look at with the Astros and go, man, you've been healthy. Can we just get this thing rolling? If it's not Yiner, it's Christian Walker. But I mean, Yiner even maybe even more because Christian is at least giving you a few reasons to get excited. Yiner's really, I mean, not struggled, but it just hadn't been that step that you'd like to see from him. This year after the last couple of years, and so yeah, he's one of a handful of guys that, man, if you could just get him rolling, boy, and then get some guys healthy, you've got a nasty ass lineup if you can do so. Yeah. We'll see what happens. Ron, I've got to. There's a couple of things that are bothering me here.
Oh boy,
you obviously can't see it, but you know I've told you that. You know, I feel like there was a space there for me at one point to build a website that was kind of a men's help type deal of like whether it's clothing or you know, hairstyle or
just all around.
Just all around. You need a little help, which we all do. Lean into the website. I'll help you out.
Oh, God, Andy.
Well, Ryan Gusto. Have you seen Gusto?
Today?
Hard not to.
No, I have not seen Ryan Gusto today.
Gusto got a fade. He got a haircut, Ron. It looks like he is literally just got discharged from the military. He's got a little bit of a wave on top.
Is it that Jim Carrey and Me, Myself, and Irene look? Is it?
Nah, that's more flat top like Army school. This is like he just got out of the Marines boot camp.
He's got the wave on top. A little bit of a wave on top, but the fade is so tight. And so high.
Point like a tiger.
And it's there's a couple of things wrong here, right? Is it's the military look is fine if you've got the chiseled jawline to go with it. He doesn't. He's got a bit of that Clint Sterner, Tyler Milner type of jawline that's a little puffy at times. You know what I mean?
Which is why I rock the full beard.
Yeah, and so that is not a the best look. And then secondly, as I'm looking at him, man, like he's rounding his fade at the top. You know what I'm talking about? Like if you're going to carry a high fade and you've got longer hair on top, like to round the fade into the hard part or the hard break is not it. It makes your head look bigger. It makes your face look bigger.
Where's your damn head at?
I mean, I tell you, it's swollen. It just is. I mean,
see, I can't find it without the head on.
Well, I mean, I'm telling you, Space City Home Network just had it bigger than all get out, man. Right here, looking at me. The fade is when you.
That's
get
what
to,
I'm trying to get when you're saying it's long at the, on the top and see the military cut with the.
The part that I think you'd be able to grasp the fade that goes straight up the sides and then it kind of curls around the shape of his head.
It's not a good look.
And then, like, it's faded, like there's a curve. Instead of just going straight up and then, like, fading it into your peacock, your top, right? Yeah. It's kind of rounded. It's kind of rounded, and then, like, it just, I mean, come on, man. I just feel like I could help the guy.
I don't think, you think he wants it? Do you think he thinks it looks bad?
I don't think he cares. He's pitching in Major League Baseball, making a bunch of money. Who gives a damn? But I just want to shake him and say, I mean,
Framber cares about his hair. So there are guys in the Major League Baseball that are pitching that care about their hair look. Well, Ryan obviously doesn't.
Look, if somebody in the clubhouse is cutting its hair, it's somebody down in Corpus Christi. And it's not in the Astros. That's not a Houston barber cutting his hair. There's
so
no.
You think Frank Ross is pissed? When he looks over there. Ooh, Frank Ross gives absolutely. Those free cuts. Frank could go and take care of it.
If Ross was being honest and he wanted to critique that haircut, he would. There would be some problems. I mean, I really feel like there's.
I want to see this.
There's room for improvement there with Gusto. I just looked up and I couldn't even appreciate the fact that the guy gave us six innings and what was it, one earned run and four hits. I couldn't even appreciate it today without the butcher job there.
It's.
I'm just telling you, man.
It's like you can't even focus on anything else but that with him, can you?
Not at all. That was the first time that I didn't hear it because the audio wasn't up, but that may be the first time that I zeroed in on a Gusto post-game presser with no hat on. Like I'm looking at Jeremy Pena right now, clear, low fade, There's no rounding at the top. Clearly, it's a lower fade, and I mean, but we're talking about two different levels.
I was about to say
we're talking about
a
panty dropper versus a cadet here. We have got to figure out a way to get Gusto to the right barber.
Oh man, who do you think he's going to? Right, that's not.
I think he hit Sports Clips. I think he pulled a Kirk Cousins.
I was going to say, you think it's Greg?
That's Greg Clips, Clint, not Sports Clips.
Whichever one.
Don't disrespect Greg Clips like.
Well, and there's somebody over there that's.
MVP.
He doesn't seem like one that sits in there and is asking for. All right, this is what I want. It was.
He's trusting the wrong people.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not putting much thought into it. Number one. And number two, he's trusting the wrong people. Like, there's just there needs to be a little more thought. And there's a little bit more. He's probably paying $25 for that fade he got.
He better not be paying $25 for that.
Well, with tip,
if it's as bad as you're, he may be doing it himself.
Listen to this guy. He better not be spending that $25.
Well, we're talking about a haircut here.
We're talking about a haircut. Now
Ryan ain't gonna play with his haircut.
Talking about $25.
But I'm just saying, as bad as you two are talking about, he better not be.
I just think it makes his face look swollen. I don't think it looks that bad.
I'm gonna tell you right now, if Hunter Brown yanked his hat off and had that haircut, I'd disown him.
You'd be done. No, you.
I'm out of the fan club.
You would stop. 100%. You would have stopped calling him Diesel.
Oh, no, well, I've never called him Diesel. I've called him Big Game. He is completely out. No more nicknames. I'm out of the fan club with that fade.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, I did want to run this across to somebody else who has kind of a cheeky face.
Cheeky fellow.
Christian Javier is a cheeky
yes.
face.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, he looks like a chipmunk. Yeah,
he's got a cheeky face. By the way, he is pitching again tonight. AAA Sugarland, they are hoping that he can go 55 to 60 pitches out of Christian Javier, and then Jeremy Pena will play shortstop and have tomorrow off. He could rejoin the Astros in Boston on Friday. So that is the latest there with those two guys getting close. Pena could be there in Boston, and another cheeky fella in Christian Javier, 50 to 60 pitches.
Righto.
Getting closer. Hey, something else that we're learning. I know we've been talking a lot here as they have a day off tomorrow in training camp, but something we may be learning here with the offensive line and another part, not just on the field, but another part that was disappointing from the offense's performance today. We'll discuss that next.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Mokerum Injury Lawyers Studio. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. By the way, fellas, we lost Shannon Sharp to ESPN. ESPN lost. They went ahead, shut him down there, Clint. Went ahead and parted ways there.
Ain't nobody got no money like Texas A&M.
2 weeks after a settlement was made in his case, O'Shannon's out at ESPN.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I was wondering the approach that they would take because, I mean, it was successful for him when he was over there on Mondays and Tuesdays with him and Shannon or him and Stephen A and all that, but they have gone the other direction. They said that was too hot for them to continue to go on. And interesting, it is just crazy, Clint. I mean, this time last year, man, he was one of the hottest commodities out there, and coming off the Cat Williams pod he did and all of that stuff, and then in a free agent and doing all kinds of things, controlling things much more, and now he's in the space he's in. Still, he's still doing stuff, but obviously too hot for ESPN to ride with.
Well, I mean, he's one of those guys that's in the same stratosphere, I think, you know, from a social media perspective as Pat McAfee kind of deal, where, you know, maybe he doesn't have the stay in power or that level of following maybe that Pat has.
Yeah, but he was getting there. I mean,
he's definitely in the same, he's definitely in that world, right? There's a handful of people that are in that world, and it's you know, it's interesting to see them part ways, but usually where I was going with that is the leverage that these guys have is one of which, hey man, if you don't ultimately give me what I want, then I can go back to doing my own thing and make stupid money on my own platforms, and you know, let me keep things quiet around me for 6 months and then watch these other major networks come calling. So that's the beauty of those guys. Again, there's a handful of them that have such a huge following that, you know, this is just a blip in the road, and they can literally tell guys, you know what, you don't like it, then kick rocks. I'll move on. And
yeah, he's
don't get confused on the YouTube kicks rocks. He's not saying that to you. Don't get your feelings hurt.
Right. Great nickname though.
Yeah, he's as you said, he's continued to do the stuff on his own platform. But this was definitely a blow. Like, I mean, ESPN, that was going to be a big step for him to get to, like the overall maybe McAfee in his own way type.
Well,
of
he's
for now.
I'll be honest with you, man. I'm a Shannon Sharp fan. I love the content. I'm not a big fan of him on TV.
Hmm.
I think the Shannon Sharp appeal for me is the tell all, the I'll go places that nobody else is willing to go, and he has the ability to go places where nobody else will go and garner an answer, right? A lot of people go there and then people say no comment. He has the ability to pull that out of people, and he has the celebrity to go out and get the Cat Williams of the world and to stir things up. Like, to me, that part is more interesting. The more interesting Shannon Sharp than you know the other stuff.
Yeah, well, but he worked on TV. Like, I mean,
no doubt he was getting it.
Yeah, people watched him, and he worked on TV. But that situation was too hot for ESPN as they rolled through. Is Steve Smith still working? I think he's still working, isn't he? That just really died on down, didn't it?
You got to be crazy.
So I think Steve Smith just. Just kind of rolled right through that thing, let it, as you said, die down for about 6 months, and I think I saw him with James Palmer doing some stuff.
That's that old seasonal talent, man. Where you just as long as it's far enough removed from the draft or from the combine or something, he'll be all right. People
that
will forget.
NBA season crept up, and he's rolling through that baseball season. He's able to slide through it. I saw him talking about wide receivers the other day. I said, "Oh, Steve kept his gig. Okay.
Steve made it. He survived. Old buddy didn't find him."
No, guess not, or not yet. How about this, though, Clint, with the offensive line? We talked about kind of the musical chairs they've been having, and a lot of the competition is the word they like to use, and a lot of different guys that are lining up and being in certain places. It does look like, Clint, that we're at least starting to see, and maybe if you're seeing something different, but it does look like we're starting to see some continuity, at least with four of the spots, right? It seems like Cam Robinson, Lakin Tomlinson, Titus Howard, and Arionte Ursary the last several days in pads, they have been locked there. And then there's been more of a rotation at center with Jake Andrews and Jarrett Patterson. But it looks like they are starting to get to a point where at least four of those spots, those are the same guys that have been running out with the ones. Now, I'm not saying, as you said, pass protection was atrocious today, and overall it hasn't been great, but at least they seem to be settling on four of the five spots.
Yeah, which I think is it's about time, right? I mean, again, we're 8 days, seven practices in to you know, the training camp. And look, I was having this conversation a little earlier with some guys at practice of like this notion or this thought, man, that like, oh, it's a long training camp. They got a lot of practices. I mean, if you really break this thing down and you look at it from a we are installing an offense perspective, like we're in the sweet spot, right? I mean, once you start traveling, going to what is green? What is it? Where they're going to
the
practice?
Greenbrier,
and once you start, you know, preseason games, and when you start those games, your backup quarterbacks are at some point. Maybe it's only the day before, but it is one day where you got to kind of get them ready to play, and the actual travel days associated and the off days associated and then the actual preseason games. Like, CJ's not going to get this. And I'm using CJ just because he's a starter, but the guys you're talking about, right? The Titus Howards of the world, the Cam Robinsons of the world, the Lakin Tomlinsons of the world. Like, those guys are going to get little to no reps on those days, right? Like, so when I'm talking about training camp and the importance of these reps, Ron, I don't mean to pull the conversation off into the weeds, but I mean, it's just like this is the sweet spot, man. You've got 2 weeks essentially to before preseason games start to where you can really get a ton of reps in with your starters, and then it's going to become this juggling act of preseason games and backups getting reps and travel days and this and that, rest days, and you know, so the where I'm going with it all is just the notion of just like, oh, training camp's long, don't worry about it, which I've heard a lot when I'm talking about CJ. Like, I think it's almost laughable, right? If you really break this thing down, we're in the sweet spot of the Texans being able to control how long they practice, how many reps their starters get, do you go full speed, how physical are you, when are you repeating things. You know, these are really the workhorse days of training camp, and we're dead in the middle of them.
Yeah, and to me, when we first initially saw it from OTAs and mandatory minicamp and the first days of training camp, Clint, I there was a chance, man. I thought, boy, they might be doing this competition thing for a minute.
Yeah,
there might be, because it would be from one team period to the next. Juice Scruggs might slide in. I remember one day you said Juice Scruggs did not get a first team, second team rep all day, and then the last team practice period, he's in with the ones. Like, so you thought this may be a while, which to me, I didn't love. You would hope they would get to a space where they know who the five are that are going to be the ones there. And they can play together, because these guys have never played together. They can play together and get some continuity going. It is good to see that they have reached that point, because we're not seeing as much Juice Scruggs coming out there at one of the interior spots. We're not seeing as much Blake – hell, we hadn't seen Blake Fisher since really the pads have come on with the ones, really. And the only place we're seeing it is with Jarrett Patterson and Andrews, and I can kind of see that. So it looks like they have already arrived at that point. And to me, I like those four around him, right? I was hoping that Ursary and the upside and the physicality could find his way in the lineup. I didn't know which one, which side, but I was hoping he would. And, you know, it's hard to think that Cam Robinson wasn't going to get in there with the amount of money he's getting paid this year. By the way, it seemed like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, it seemed like you're a little disappointed at Cam Robinson thus far in his.
No, I'm not disappointed. I'll be honest with you, when we did stock up, stock down earlier, when it comes to stock down, I mean, I think there's just few and far between. I mean, unless you want to get into the depth guys, the John Mechies, and boy, he's not making any contested catches. Did it again today, by the way. You know, there's some of that going on, but really, I mean, most of the guys that have potential to help this team win, most of them that are there, not the ones like you talked about Damian Pierce, like the ones that are there. I mean, they're having a pretty good camp. So, I mean, I'm not disappointed in Cam Robinson. I picked Cam Robinson just because I think, you know, early on, the heavy rotation with him at left tackle I thought was interesting. I thought he would be one of the Titus Howard, Lakin Tomlinson, Cam Robinson. Hey, we're going with the ones consistently. So I just had to pick somebody, to be completely honest with you on that. I'm not down on it. I think they'll be fine. I'm not down on either tackle, and I don't care if it's Blake Fisher or Ariante Ursary at this point at right tackle. Doesn't matter to me. I think we can help those guys. You know, we can help them with backs and tight ends and that kind of thing, to where they'll be just fine and CJ will be just fine behind them.
By the way, reports from John Paul Morosi of Fox that Justin Verlander is available on the trade market, folks.
Try to resist, Crane.
Oh, man, Jim's out there. He's what? We could probably get him for a hell of a deal this time.
He's fiending.
Let's go. I will be honest, feel better about Justin Verlander than I do Jason Alexander, Colton Gordon, Hell, I was going to say Brandon Walter, but he's hurt. I feel better. I do feel better, even though he did go on a 16-game winless streak. Better about him, but maybe not this time. Maybe not this time. All right, coming up, the Astros. They get the dub. We'll give you all you need to know about their performance today and also trade conversations. I know Justin Verlander is available, but I don't think that's what we're going to be talking about. But there are two prominent names that are coming out connected with the Astros. We'll get to that. And an injury at practice today, a very serious injury. We'll tell you about that and overall how it went. All of that as we continue. Look, 5 o'clock fire coming up live right here on The Drive.